Genesis 28. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau to Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajat, to be his wife. This far I desire that we read in our first reading from the Holy Scripture. And before we proceed with reading of the rest of this chapter, let us bend our knees and worship the Lord in prayer and praise to His name. Our Heavenly Father, we would desire at this moment to praise Thee for Thy great goodness and mercy, that goodness and mercy of Thine that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage, O Lord. We desire to praise Thee together with the heavenly angels and with the faithful ones that are scattered all over the face of this earth, two or three in one place, some places few more and the other places few less. In this last period of time, O Heavenly Father, that often reminds us of the days of the prophet Elijah as he prayed unto Thee, O Lord, and said, It is enough. Take my life. I am no better than my father's. As we look into Thy holy word, we are reminded of the questions that Thou hast asked Elijah the prophet. What art Thou doing here? And we remember, O Heavenly Father, how he complained that thy prophets are slain, thy altars are destroyed, and he alone is left. O Lord God Almighty, how wonderful was that revelation of thine, that thou hast left a remnant saved by grace, that there are the souls of thy people, the redeemed, the faithful ones, that have not bent their knees before the idols and have not kissed the image of Baal. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy goodness and mercy. We praise thee for thy love, for thy wisdom, O Lord, wisdom that is deeper than hell and as high as the peaks of heavenly glory. We are thankful, O Heavenly Father, there is no spot in heaven and in heavens above heaven, that there is no place in the depths of the bottomless that is away out of thy sight. For thou, Lord God Almighty, in thy great goodness and grace, hast arranged everything in such a wondrous way that everything works for good to those that love Thee. Oh, how humbled we are to think, O Lord, that Thou hast taken our sinful hearts and thou hast cleansed us, and thou hast given us a new heart, and thou hast given us the privilege and the blessing and the power to love thee and to worship thee, O Lord. O thou Holy One, thou all gracious one, and even more than that, thou hast not left each one of us to walk alone and destitute, but thou hast gathered our hearts in this small number of hours here before thy holy face, and thou hast given us that band of unity and that flame of thy love. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how great and glorious is thy love, how wonderful is thy holy name, O Lord, through the thick darkness that has covered the earth at the moment when thou wast hanging on the cross and suffering the hell for us. The glory and majesty of thy holy name, the beauty of thy holiness was shining through thick darkness, and darkness was dispersed, and the work of our salvation thou hast finished. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, blessed be thy holy name. Glory and honor belong to thee. To thee we owe our life and living, our strength and being. Everything is thine, Almighty God, King of kings and Lord of lords. All the glory and majesty of thy holy name, grant us always, forever and ever, that privilege and that blessing to worship thee in spirit and in truth, to love thee and to reverence thee and to be thine through Christ our blessed Redeemer. Holy Father, in this time, of fierce battle, in this time, O Heavenly Father, when there be but few that with their whole heart are following in the steps of the Savior, grant us thou that privilege to be in that small, tiny minority, for those that are with thee are always in the greatest majority. For the world passeth away, and the lust of sin is vanishing away. But those that keep thy holy word and that walk in Christ in the light of thy truth, O Lord, they remain forever to be the heirs of the heavenly glory. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we are humbled by thy great goodness and mercy. Bless us thou, and bless this holy word of thine, and bless thou, O Heavenly Father, this message from heaven in our hearts, that we may be living in peace and in joy of thy salvation, walking through this valley of the shadow of death, that we may voice thy testimonies, that we may spread thy truth, that we may invite the sinners to come to the fountain of life. Gracious Lord, may our deeds and words, our manners and intentions, our struggles and our strifes, may everything be in Christ. May thy Spirit dwell in our hearts and rule our lives. For thou art our joy and our happiness. Glorious and loving Heavenly Father, King of kings and Lord of lords, may thy kingdom be in our weak hearts. May our souls overflow with praises of thy holy name, that thy holy name, O Lord, may be worshipped, honored, and glorified even here, even in these difficult times. Loving Heavenly Father, once again we pray that thou open our hearts and minds to this blessed word of thine, that we may receive new strength, new joy, new peace, that we may grow in faith, that we may walk in that blessed hope, expecting thy glorious return, thy triumphant coming, O Lord. Fill our hearts with love, and our days with the deeds of charity. Fill, O Heavenly Father, our earthly dwelling places with the praises of Thy holy name. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, watch over Thy people. Keep us from evil. Continually purify, enlighten, sanctify, and make us Thine own through Christ our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Through the help of our Heavenly Father, I desire that we continue our reading on the verse number 10 to read to the end of this chapter 28 of the first book of the scripture called Genesis. Genesis 28, verse 10, let us read to the end of this chapter. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee all. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee the tenth unto thee. This far is this chapter 28. In the passage that we read in the preceding earlier reading, we saw that when Isaac was about 40 years old and Abraham called the steward of his house, the leading or supervising servant, Abraham gave charge to the servant to go back to the land and to the people from where Abraham came, and to bring a girl to be the wife of Isaac his son, and in no case to lead Isaac or to encourage Isaac to go back to the land and to the people where from they once came out. And then what happened? Rebecca came and became the wife of Isaac. And Isaac was about more or less 20 years older than Rebecca. And apparently Rebecca was a very healthy woman. And for a long while they had a very harmonious, wonderful life. At least, we don't see anything that would reveal a situation other than that. But they had no children. And Isaac did repeat one of his father's mistakes in one rather dangerous situation. He said for Rebecca that she is his sister. Now, Sarah was a sister to Abraham. They had one father. They were children of two mothers. Rebecca was second cousin, I think, to Isaac. So what we could see in this, that the mistakes of the preceding generation, when they're transferred to the new generation, become worse. Because in Isaac's case, there was less truth, less of a fact than in Abraham's. Sarah was much more Abraham's sister than Rebecca to Isaac. On the other hand, Isaac and Rebecca did not repeat the mistake of Abraham and Sarah. When they did not have children, they went and entreated the Lord. They prayed that the promises of the Lord be fulfilled and that their seed be multiplied. And so it happened that they had twins. And right from the beginning, there were signs, indications, that the twins are not going to be living in harmony. Two people that will strive one against another will spring into existence. And so, when the children grew up, Esau, the older twin, became a hunter. And Isaac, their father, was an old man. And even when he was young, he was a mild, gentle man, a quiet man, a very peaceful personality. Not weak, but peaceful. He was a strong man. He was able to talk the truth in the face of the people. For when the king of the Philistines and his general came to talk with Isaac and to make a treaty, to make a lasting friendship with Isaac, he asked them openly, "Why did you come to me, since you hate me and you chased me away? You didn't want me to live with you." And they answer, "We saw that God is with thee, so we want to make a treaty that thou will not deal evilly with our people." So they did make a treaty. And then Isaac said, "What about the well that I dug out and thy servants chased away my servant?" And the king of the Philistines said, "I had no knowledge about that until now." And so Isaac said, "We will make the treaty, but the well is mine." And apparently the Philistines agreed. But as long as the Philistines were against Isaac and his servants, Isaac kept moving from place to place further away from the Philistines. And wherever he went, he was blessed, and his wealth was multiplied. Now his children are grown up, perhaps about 30 years old or older, young man. And Esau, being a hunter, was in favor of his father. Isaac loved good food. And Rebekah was much younger and very ambitious woman. Jacob became, in a way, mother's son. He was dealing with the tents, around the tents, around the household. He didn't go very far from his home. The times are coming when that will change. Esau will stay home and Jacob will have to go far away. For God is taking Jacob through a school and preparing him for a covenant that is coming. So, what happened? Rebekah preferred or favored Jacob, and Isaac favored Esau. And now comes the time that Isaac is very old, his eyes are dim, he cannot see very well, and he wants to transfer the leadership of the household, the headship or eldership. And Isaac does not talk to Rebekah, but Rebekah is carefully watching what's going on. Rebekah does not want Esau to be the head of the family. Before that very dramatic moment of Isaac's mistake and Rebekah's crime, Esau went and picked up some girls and got married. They were the girls of Canaan. Not only one, but two. Esau is a great man. He needs a lot. He's a vain man. He's a very difficult personality. Jacob seemed to be quiet, soft, gentle, but a tricky person. Very crafty. Jacob is concerned more with spiritual gifts, but he wants to get them in his own way. Instead of doing what his father Isaac did, what his grandfather Abraham did, pray and seek God's guidance. Jacob has something else in his mind. Esau is the first twin, so he is the elder brother. Jacob somehow has to get that from him. And so the great hunter Esau is coming from hunting without anything. He is tired, he is hungry, and as usually, he is careless, self-willed, and proud. And Jacob has already prepared a delicious, savory meal. The fragrance is spreading around, and Jacob is displaying what he has before Esau. Esau is hungry, and he said, "Give me of that meal." And Jacob said, "Oh, yeah, I can give this meal to you, but you give me your right of the firstborn." And Esau says, "What is that right going to do to me? I'm dying, I'm starving, give me that meal." And Jacob said, "Very well, swear." And Esau did. Such a profane way of dealing with very important thing as the leadership, headship, eldership of the household. Household that has promise and already a covenant with the Lord. And so Esau gave an oath that from that moment on Jacob is the firstborn and Esau is the youngest. I wonder, but I think that Esau had to use the name of the Lord in that oath to make it powerful, to make it valid. And so Jacob gave the meal to Esau, and Esau ate and went his way and could not care less for his right of the firstborn until it was too late. So what happened? One day when Rebecca heard that Isaac, her husband, is calling Esau, Rebecca listened carefully and heard that Isaac asked Esau to go out and hunt a deer or an animal and prepare a meal for his father Isaac so that Isaac can eat and then bless his son Esau. And Esau went his way to do that. Esau was not honest. He's stealing. He has given his right of the firstborn. He has no right to receive the blessing either. He sold that for one meal. Isaac, as the father, not seeing, being blind, should have had someone to help him to see. He's an old man. His reasoning is weakened. And Rebecca is still a woman in full strength. And her mind is quick. She quickly called Jacob, her son, and said, "Your father asked his son to go out and hunt a deer and prepare a meal and receive the blessing. And now let's act quickly. Get a lamb. Prepare the lamb, and I will make a meal as thy father likes. And we'll take the fur of the lamb and cover your arms and your neck. And you go in and tell your father that you are Esau, and you will get a blessing." Now that's such a mixture of faith and faithlessness. How can you obtain a blessing by lying, by tricking an old blind man? Such a dishonesty. On the other hand, when Jacob went in to his father, and his father said, "Who art thou?" And Jacob said, "I'm Esau, thy firstborn." Well, according to their agreement, he was. But still, the father did not recognize that, if he knew anything about that. And so, Isaac said, "Come near, my son, that I can touch you and see if thou art Esau, my firstborn son." I wonder how Jacob felt at that moment. Jacob was not very good in imitating Esau's voice. Apparently, Isaac's hearing was not as bad as his
vision.
So Isaac touched Jacob's neck and arms and said, "The voice is Jacob's." But apparently this is Esau. At that moment, Isaac still does not ask his wife who is who and what is what. They don't work together. Each one of them is doing their own will and business. And he asked again, "Art thou really my son Esau?" And Jacob says, "Yes, I am." And so Isaac blessed him. It's so hard to understand human nature, even though it's ours. It's very difficult to understand why it had to happen like that. Isaac entreated the Lord when they desired to have children and could not. Now here's a smaller thing, and he does not even think that he should ask the Lord. He wants a good meal, and that will help him to be inspired and bless his son. Well, as soon as Isaac finished the words blessing his son Jacob, thinking that that's his son Esau, and Jacob went away, perhaps Rebekah was helping Jacob to get rid of that fur around his wrist, his arms and neck, Esau came back, and the meal is finished, and he is coming and talking to his father. Finally, Esau is going to get some prestige over Jacob. He will receive the blessing and he will be the official head of the family. And too late. Esau comes in and talks to his father. Isaac and says, "Rise, O my father, and bless me. Here is the meal that I have prepared for thee." And Isaac is trembling. He realized that he is part of a mess. That something is seriously wrong. And Isaac said, "Who? And where is the other one that came before thee and received the blessing?" And right away Isaac says, "And he will be blessed." Seems to me that at that moment something cleared up in Isaac's mind, that something was wrong, that Esau is not the one that should inherit the blessing. And then we see a repentance that is not true repentance. Esau is screaming. Poor little child, 40 years only. And he's screaming like a spoiled kid. He wants a blessing, and he has to have it. Two times he is deceived. No. He might have been deceived first time. Second time, he didn't deserve it. That was not his. He gave it up. But he wants it. Now that repentance was not acknowledging his own wrong, but accusing the others. And that repentance does not receive forgiveness. And so Isaac blessed Esau with a blessing of subordination. Esau was the second. He had to, according to that blessing, to submit to the rulership of his brother until a certain day when that yoke is going to be broken. And so it seemed to me that Esau, in this part of the history of the family of faith and godliness, in spite of all the other things that were mixed in, that Esau represents those believers that say they are Christians but actually are Gentiles. They have wrong repentance, they have wrong motives, reasons for their desires, for their religion, and also they have to submit to the elder brother, that is later on Israel. But someday that yoke is going to be broken, and that after many tears, when the true repentance comes, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ breaks the yoke of the bondage of sin and makes us His children. But at that moment, it was a very dramatic situation, and Rebekah probably never saw her son Jacob once he departed from his father's house. She had to live with Esau for so long. Well, when the time came that Father Isaac was very close to his death, the end of his earthly journey, Rebekah, still as ambitious and vigorous as ever, talked to Isaac, her husband. Thank God she did. It seemed to me that Isaac would not make that first step if Rebekah did not. So Rebekah is talking to Isaac, but she has her plan. And yet the Lord is using her plan to accomplish His Lord's program. Rebekah heard Esau plotting vengeance, planning to murder his brother Jacob as soon as his father died. So we read here that Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father," that means my father's death, "are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. To whom did Esau talk about that? Who did hear that? Probably within his tent. But Esau has two wives, and there were not too many secrets that remained within the tent. And Esau, probably being a proud man, twice defeated by Jacob, just couldn't bear that without saying something that would give to Esau some relief of his bitterness. He is going to avenge himself. And so when these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, "Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee," Jacob, "doth comfort himself, intending to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice," just as first time, "and arise, flee thou to Laban my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days. It was about, maybe 15, 16, maybe 20 years. 14 years Jacob was serving Laban for two wives, and then sometime after that he escaped and came back to the land of Canaan. But Rebekah says, "My son, obey my voice and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away." Rebekah considered Esau to be a very like-minded man. He's furious now, but in a few days he'll be alright. "Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him, then I will send and fetch thee from thence." Rebekah is treating Jacob as her little boy. "I will fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" What does this mean? If Esau was going to murder his brother Jacob, he is going to be accursed for Rebekah. She won't have him anymore. So Rebekah said to Isaac, now she's talking to the father, to her husband, to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, as Esau did, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me?" He said she is weary of her life. She hates living with the daughters of Heth, and she had already two of them, Esau's wives. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan." And there is Esau hearing all of that. And his two wives are daughters of Canaan. Heth is one of the Canaanites. "Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Betuel, my mother's father." Remember how Abraham said to his servant, "Thou shalt not take my son Isaac back to Padan Aram." And now Isaac tells, after he talked to Rebekah, to Jacob to go there and take a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. We see what happened later on when Jacob went to live with those Gentiles in Padan Aram. He lived as a Gentile for a long time. He prayed to the Lord. He worshipped the Lord. But in many things, he mixed in the way the Canaanites lived. And Isaac says to Jacob in his blessing, "And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee," not to Esau, "and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger." And Esau wants that land as well, which God gave unto Abraham. So here Isaac completed the blessing. First time Isaac was deceived. This time Isaac is blessing Jacob in Isaac's clear mind. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Betuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. And now Jacob went away, and Isaac and Rebekah live with Esau and Esau's two wives of the daughters of Heth of the people of Canaan. And Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying,
thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan.
Esau already did that without asking his parents, without seeking the will of the Lord, without, he couldn't care less for anything but his own desires and his own pleasure.
And that Jacob obeyed, Esau saw that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram.
Now we see that Esau does not have in himself an awareness or a guidance to do something good and right. Whenever he wants to do something, he makes a mistake, because he is a godless person. And yet he was raised together with Jacob by godly parents.
And so Esau is trying again somehow to gain some prestige, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father. He went to Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had another one, a granddaughter of Ishmael, to be his wife.
So from bad he went to worse. We know who was Ishmael, that Abraham had to send him away in order to leave the inheritance to Isaac. Now Esau is bringing someone back from that people. Another problem, another trouble.
Esau stayed with his parents, but he drifted further and further away from faith to faithlessness. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night in the wilderness, all alone. He was a man used to living with his family, not far from his mother. Rebekah and her son Jacob had a quiet, secured, happy life, apparently, until that moment. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows.
He made him a bed with rocks, stones. And he lay down in that place to sleep. And now he has a dream. In an ordinary case, it could have been a different dream. Perhaps Jacob could have dreamed that his brother Isaac is chasing him with a spear or with an arrow or a knife or something, and quite a nightmare. But it was not. Apparently, the moment Jacob left his father Isaac and his mother Rebekah, after he received that new and rightful blessing through the words of his father Isaac, Jacob was somewhat a different man. He dreamed about God of his grandfather Abraham, about God of his father Isaac. And he received some revelation in his dream. Behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord Jehovah, as Abraham said, and Melchizedek, the possessor, the owner of heaven and earth, stood above it. And God was in that dream speaking to Jacob. I, the Lord, God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac,
That was introduction. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. That's part of the promise, the message. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee everywhere whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done which I have spoken to thee of. And after that message, and after that really wonderful dream, Jacob woke up out of his sleep, and he is thinking, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew not. He is receiving a new awareness of God's presence. But then he was afraid, but it was a godly fear. He was not afraid to run away from that place. He was afraid, seeing that his former life was not in harmony with the will of God. And then he said, how dreadful is this place. God is so awesome, so great, and Jacob felt so tiny, small. And then he said, this is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Through the house of God on earth, the people will enter into heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillow and poured oil upon the top of it. That's dedication. And he called the name of that place Beth-El, the house of God. It was only a pillar. For Jacob, that was the house of God. Why? There he saw God in his dream. There he received the promise and the blessing. And Jacob made a vow, saying, if or since God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So that's how it happened. Where was Jacob at that moment? It was the same mountain where Abraham offered his son Isaac, Jacob's father, for a burnt sacrifice. It was the same mountain where later on, when the people of Israel, the descendants of Jacob, got settled in the land of Israel, built the temple, so-called Solomon's temple, the house of God. That was the same spot on the globe that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ stood and shouted, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's the same mountain where, just outside the walls of Jerusalem, our Lord was crucified. How many people entered through the gates of heaven because they worshipped God in that temple
in that church in Jerusalem? We don't know. But this we do know, that our Lord and Savior, with His suffering and His redemption, His atonement, created that church. And there is none among those born on earth, none of the whole mankind, including the one that was not born but created, absolutely no one that ever entered into heaven through any other church but the Church of Christ, right from the beginning. I don't say that Adam did enter or did not enter to heaven. I just say that no one ever got saved other than through the sacrifice and redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gate to heaven. And that is the church, true and real church, the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Geographically, historically, the Lord did suffer on the same mountain, but really, He suffered for everyone that believed, for those that He redeemed. And the gate to heaven is not in Jerusalem, was not on Golgotha, or on the Mount Moriah, which is geographically the same place. The Lord said, I am the door and the way and the truth and life. And in Him and through Him we have the precious promises, the spiritual life and salvation, and life everlasting, and blessed and glorious eternity, all in Christ. For in Him and through Him is all. And that's why the Father said, and the voice was heard on the river Jordan, this is my beloved Son, in Him I am well pleased. May our Heavenly Father give us that grace, that blessing, that we also be among those that hear through the struggles and striving of this life and this earthly journey, lived faithfully to the Lord, and through Christ our Savior will enter into heaven, worship the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit throughout that endless eternity. Amen.